B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli. And the 4 o'clock hour is brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. And joining me for the entire hour, also brought to you by Landis Block, is the great Brian Westbrook. What's going on, Brian?
Tyrone, what's going on, brother? You're in a big chair today, huh? Mike is taking a little vacation. You in here running the show. I've been listening to you a little bit. Sounded good, my friend.
I appreciate that. Now, we've been talking about old school versus new school. The Sixers, Flyers have been hopping around. I want to talk to you a little bit about this old school versus new school thing. Mm-hmm. First thing I want to start with, I mentioned it to Natalie and Andrew in the last hour. New school training camp compared to old school training camp, and which one you would have preferred as a player?
Well, as a player, you want the new school training camp because, you know, back when I was a rookie, which seems like forever ago now, we had 3-a-days. So you would come out, you would practice in the morning, you would do another little walkthrough in the early afternoon, and then practice again in the evening. 3 practices in one day. And then, you know, as I went on, we cut back to 2-a-days. But during those practices, Andy Reid was one of those rare football coaches that went live. And I'm talking about tackle to the ground. A lot of the veterans that would come in from other team free agents and things like that, they would be looking around in amazement that we were tackling during training camp. And Andy Reid believed in, we're going to be physical, we're going to be nasty, we're going to beat each other up just a little bit. And so every day we would have live periods where we would go, the first offense would go against the second defense, and the first defense would go against the second offense, and we would be clashing heads, banging against each other. A lot of guys got hurt during those periods. It was hot in Lehigh, Pennsylvania, and so it was a tough training camp for all of us back then. But nowadays, it's what I would consider Camp Cupcake. You know, they have one hard practice a day. They kind of do a walkthrough. They jog around. They can only wear pads a certain amount of times throughout the season. You know, this is a whole different way of training for football that, you know, back in the day we would never have thought of. And so I'm definitely, as a player, I want to go the new school. But as a guy that was, you know, rugged and tough trying to get ready for football, the old school way to do it certainly was probably best for me.
Some of that didn't have something to do with how you handle yourself in the off season, though. Can't you get yourself ready for some of that stuff throughout the off season so you don't have to go banging heads the way? Because that's what this is all about, trying to keep you guys from banging heads to the level that you did.
Yeah, I think the Players Association and the NFL are trying to keep guys from just beating each other up. And a lot of the guys that were part of the CBA and really constructing that CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, they wanted less contact practices for the players in the hope that your career would be elongated. I think before, you know, even before my time, they had 6, 7, 8 weeks of training camp. And a lot of guys were just getting in shape during training camp. But by the time that I came and played, we were already in shape coming into training camp. We were already ready to go. And, you know, we just went out there and just beat each other up. And that's just the way that the old school coaches thought they should do it, Andy Reid included. They thought we should go out there and get physically ready for contact. And you can never really do that type of thing when you're at home. You can't do that type of thing when you're training down in Florida, when you have, you know, guys with shoulder pads on and helmets and going against each other. You don't get that type of thing unless you go to training camp. And so back in the day, that's the only way the coaches saw how they can do it. And Andy Reid had no problem with us lining up and going live goal line drills, live short yardage drills. I mean, it was a physical training camp, and a lot of guys got beat up during that time. I think when you think about it, a lot of people would say that some of our slower starts, to our season, losing the first couple games of the season, were because of the training camps that Andy Reid made us go through.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I mean. Now, overall, I think overall, if you take everything into account, new school generally, you're talking about movies, life, everything across the board, new school is better than old school. Where do you fall on that,
no
Brian?
Way.
No, I mean, what do you mean, no way?
It's no way that
what you
new
mean?
School, because listen, I mean, how could you possibly say that as an old school type of guy? You are old school. That's what you are. And it shocks me to hear you say something like this. When did you have your first kicks? Long ago. When did you watch your first movie holding hands with a girl? Long ago. That was old school stuff. That's when you fell in love with some of those great things. Of course, some of the new school stuff is cool, being able to watch a movie in 4G and all the different technology, having things at your fingertip with the internet. That's all good.
You like rolling your windows up and down in your car?
I did not. I did not.
You like a cruise control on a long trip?
I like a cruise control.
You like a heated seat?
I like a heated seat. I like that. I'm not saying that all new school things are bad, but I'm saying old school things were perfect for the time period. It was a simpler way of life. The time period, it was great. Just imagine these kids now that want instant gratification. They have to know everything at the snap of their fingers. They don't even know what a newspaper is. Just imagine plopping those guys in the old school situation. They would go absolutely crazy. And I think if you do the opposite, you have some people that can adjust the same way that you and I have.
I hear that, but let's not romanticize things that weren't that fun. Now, remember your research paper. If you're from the old school, you remember having to go to the library the way you did. Make the photocopies in the library. Make sure you get the end so you can do your bibliography and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to go back to those. That's not better to me. Just because it was harder doesn't mean it was better. These kids can get information instantly. That's better, isn't it, that you can get the information? I want to get information. Why do I have to go through this hard process to find it?
Well, what do these kids do if the internet's down? They don't know what an encyclopedia is. They don't know what an almanac is. They don't know any of these things. They don't know. They wouldn't have a clue what to do if the internet just went down one day. They would be lost.
What's it doing?
Absolutely
down?
Lost.
Why is it down? I got backup. My phone is my backup. I'm on my Wi-Fi. My phone is my backup. They can't both be down. We at the apocalypse if that's down.
Things are going bad if everything is down. You're right.
Now think about your era when you played. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I don't want to show any disrespect to any previous teams before your era. Take your best Eagles team.
Okay.
You take a team from the 70s. Take the best Eagles team, actually any team before you. If you guys played them, if we're being honest, because we know athletes are always getting bigger, stronger, and faster all at the same time, which shouldn't happen, but that's what happens. Guys are getting bigger, stronger, and faster. Your team would absolutely stomp the 1960 championship team, if we're being honest, right?
Yeah, I sure would hope so. I mean, you're talking about back in the 60s, you had offensive linemen playing at 240, 250. Now, you know, when I played, we had offensive linemen 325, 340, 350. So it's a different day and age. Of course, I think we would probably beat them up just a little bit. So, yeah, things have changed, and the game certainly has changed. But, you know, back then, when you had offensive linemen playing at 240 and they had a job on the weekends and they still were coming to play during the week and things like that, it was a different time. And the game was a little bit more physical because you were able to be more physical at that time because it was less padding. There was less helmets. There was a lot of different things back then. I know that everybody loves the internet and everybody loves the instantaneous information and all that other stuff. But there is something to be said about times being simpler. There is something to be said about you going outside and playing in the middle of the street, playing football in the middle of the street without cars going by running over kids. There is something to being able to say that everybody doesn't have a cell phone walking down the street with a cell phone in the hand. There is something to be said that every night you and your family are huddled around your TV watching the same four channels together as a family. There is something to be said about that. I mean, listen, I love where we're at right now, but the old school way of going about things sometimes is the best way to do it.
No, I agree with a lot of that. Playing outside is something that these kids, it's all organized.
Yeah.
They all have activities where the parents basically are scheduled after work for a bunch of hours for the kids. The kids don't just go play organically. I agree with that.
That's sad. That's actually sad.
But that's what happens. Oh, they got this appointment, then they got karate, then they got this, and then they got the dance class. If they're the girls, there is no just go outside and, you know, whatever it may be. There's not as much of that going on. And that's part of old school. I just think that if we took it as a whole, and we're going to go over it the whole hour, as a whole, I think new school will win. Let's take a call. Rob in Fishtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, with Brian Westbrook.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Rob?
So I just wanted to weigh in on the whole old school versus new school thing as it pertains to baseball. I'm more in the old school camp You know, I fear that while I'm open-minded to slight modifications to the game to try and, you know, improve things and keep an audience interested, my fear is that the game is going to be bastardized and you're going to end up with a worst case scenario where, you know, you're saving a couple minutes here and a couple minutes there. So you're not really addressing the game time. And at the same time, you're getting rid of all the great nuances that make baseball great.
What are you afraid of getting rid of that's so great? What are you worried about getting rid of?
It's not that it's so great. It's just like the accumulative effect of all of the little nuances.
Fine. You know, I wouldn't want to limit. I hear you, Rob. What thing, is there anything specific that you're worried about them taking away? Or are you romanticizing something that seems to be stagnant?
It might be a little bit of both. But let me say this. My solution is as follows. And, you know, the reality is it probably won't be implemented because it comes from the business side, not from the game side. But a little quick Google research will show that the average baseball game broadcast is a little over 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
And of this, almost a full third, making up a little over an hour, is commercials. So the solution is...
That's impossible.
Look it up. Just quick Google research.
There's like an a third hour of, the game of commercials in baseball?
That's what, I mean, listen, it's just basic Google research.
You got
be wrong.
18 but, breaks. But
just keep with me for a second. My solution is move the game to Netflix. Make it commercial free. If you got to charge a couple extra bucks, do it. Stay ahead of it because then people will keep watching the game. And if you get rid of a whole hour of commercials, you know, that'll solve the problem right there.
They tried that with the Facebook. That didn't work. Andrew pointed that out in my ear. No.
They went commercial-free during the Facebook games, and it was terrible. Because then they're trying to figure out what to say.
Yeah, and the other part is the commercial part. You can't attack that. That's how, you know, these players don't play for free. You can't mess with the commercials, Jack. Like,
you got to get paid somehow.
Right, you can't mess with that. Brian, you're not the biggest baseball guy in the world. You have kids, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I was talking about with Mike yesterday, and this is where this conversation old versus new, I was trying to go bigger than just baseball itself. I was talking about how if we look at the old school versus the new school, just in general, with baseball, there seems to be people who are unwilling to make subtle changes to make the game a little bit more watchable. For yourself, who's not a big baseball guy, and possibly for your kids as they get older, if they were able to make the product maybe have the appeal to look a little bit more like a video game, meaning there was more information on the screen, especially in the downtime. And if they were able to shave, you know, 2-3 minutes off per inning, you end up cutting 20 minutes, 40 minutes off of a game. Do you think that can make a difference for a consumer?
You know, it probably will make a difference for a consumer. It's weird. I think baseball to me at this point in time is a supply and demand type of thing. There's so much of a supply. It's so many games, 162 games, right? I mean, that's a lot of doggone baseball. And it's almost you're so overwhelmed. I'll give you an example. There are times where I take my daughter to school, I fix her lunch, and she comes home, and she still has her lunch in the bag, hasn't touched a doggone thing. And I said, Bria, why don't you eat? Oh, it was just too much food. Because it was too much food, she didn't eat anything. And I feel that same way with baseball. There's just so many games. You're like, I'll watch it tomorrow. Oh, I'll watch it tomorrow. And next thing you know, it's the postseason. And you're into the World Series. And it's just so many games. It's so long. It's so boring. I think that people are like, nah, I'll just check it out. I'll wait till basketball or football comes around. I'm out on baseball.
It's not boring.
I think it is boring. I'm pretty sure people. Well, listen.
It doesn't have to be boring.
If you're talking about cutting time off the game. If you're
to
talking
speed
about
it up so that it seems
because it's boring. That's why you're speeding it up. If you're in a great movie, you want it to be longer because you enjoy a great movie.
That's not
you're
quite. Not bored. No, hold on.
Apples.
No. It's not apples to apples because your action apples. Movie, the big movies that make the most money, those action movies are 90 minutes. No one ever asked for the shoot 'em up movies to be 3 hours. They're 90 minutes.
Well, the baseball.
Right. And what I'm saying is baseball can be an action movie. They just do a lot of extra dialogue in between the action that they could avoid.
Baseball can't be an action movie because that would mean you have to throw all strikes. That means you have to put the ball in the strike zone every time. So guys are either swinging or they're out. It's the balls and all these different things. That's the hard part. The changing of innings. That's the hard part.
That's fundamental to the game, though.
I know. And that's what's the part that's driving people away. It's the slow pace of the game that's driving people away. I mean, we're talking about old school versus new school. New school kids, new people, they want action right away. They want to jump on the doggone. They want to come to the game, and they want to see a home run the first inning and the top of the first and the bottom of the first. That's what they want to see right away.
Well, they set the record for home runs last season. The ball's flying out of the park.
They should. That's bigger, not, faster, stronger. They should.
That's not an issue. I think you're coming in with a little bit of football bias. A little bit into this. And basketball bias. Because I found out you were a decent basketball player and an upset.
Well, decent. I mean, I would probably say a little bit better than decent. But, I mean, no one's here to, you know.
I mean, I'm saying.
No one, I mean,
you were a better basketball player than I thought.
Oh, and okay, I had to. Good. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was shocked. And you really used to throw it down at your height. I was shocked by that. But what I'm saying is, okay. You know what? I'm not going to talk baseball with you.
Baseball is just not as exciting sport. And I think there's another element that I think people are missing, too. And I think everyone loved baseball back in the day. I myself love baseball. I still like baseball. I just don't get around to watching it as much because I have different things that I want to watch, reality TV, all different types of things. And if you want to talk about old school versus new school, TV and reality TV is a great place to start as well. But I just think that people want action. You talk about football, people want collisions. You talk about the UFC, people want to get beat up, see people get beat up. Baseball just doesn't give you a lot of that.
You just brought up something, actually, I want to throw to you. Old school was boxing.
Mm-hmm.
New school is MMA.
Yep.
What do you think, if you had to pick, was better? The UFC style in the octagon, having those kicks and punches flying and chokes, or boxing? What's better? Well, old school versus new school.
When I was young and coming up back in the early 80s, early to mid 80s, you know, when you had, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvelous Marvin Hagler. I mean, you had some guys, some real boxing. There were some great fights back in the day.
And it was on network TV.
Yeah. You could sit down, and it was amazing. To me, boxing still is king. I'm not a big UFC, MMA type of fan. I'll watch it from here and there. But I love the skill of boxing. I love seeing guys trading punches, dodging punches, and getting shots and knocking guys out. Of course, I was kind of groomed in that era. And so now for me, boxing still is king. Now, I'll fast forward and tell you about my dad. He loved boxing back in the day. He was a golden glove boxer in his younger day, but he loves UFC. I'm talking about, he's calling me every Saturday, and I think a big part of it is because it's on Fox, but he's calling me every Saturday to tell me about the UFC fight. What's going on? And he loves people getting punched with the elbows and all these different kicks and all of that. He loves that. So I guess it kind of goes, different people. But I'm a boxing fan through and through.
So you're really old school all the way through. Now, just to clarify from that caller, it's 30 to 40 minutes of breaks in a baseball game. It's not an hour. So it's not That's like long. If you took away the commercials, it would just drop a whole hour. But you got to remember, you have 18 breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So 30 minutes is really not a lot, considering there's way more minutes than that in a football game.
Yeah.
Because, compared to total action.
And the
action,
commercial's not going to speed things up. They're still going to do their warm-ups in between innings.
Yeah, like I was saying, they have to warm up. In football, I mean, after a score, they're going to go to commercial. Then they're going to kick off and go right back to commercial. I mean, there's no getting around it. So really, that's what's interesting. Football has the least amount of action in a way. Yet it's the king of the sports. That's why I think baseball has a chance.
Well, you know what? I was thinking about, you talking about changing the game, and I've been watching this AAF just a little bit, and they don't have kickoffs. And I'm sure that the NFL was keeping a close eye on that. And to see, you're talking about speed up the game a little bit, changing things,
mm-hmm.
and maybe potentially taking kickoff away, old versus new. Where do you land when you talk about that? That's an interesting thing that the NFL may adopt as they move forward here in the next few seasons. So that's something that you have to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, personally for me, I'm okay with that. I understand that the kickoff return is a big deal. Those happen so rarely, the kickoff return for a touchdown, mm-hmm. and it's by far the most dangerous play. Like, it's not even close. They say concussions were down this year. Most of it was because there was less concussions on kickoffs due to the new kickoff rules. Because I actually do care about player safety. I do want a guy like you to have a long life and prosperous life after you finish playing. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to sacrifice the kickoff so that guys are able to live longer after they're done playing the game.
I think if you lose the kickoff, I agree with you. I think you don't lose very much in the game. I think you certainly speed it up an awful lot. So it may add some speed and presence to a football game just a little bit.
All right, let's get one more call in before the break. Peter in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic with Brian Westbrook.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Peter.
What's up, Pete?
Hey, well, the first guy who called, I'm pretty sure he's pretty dumb with that whole hour minus commercials. Just makes no sense. So stupid. Which brings me to my second point. Dumb and Dumber, probably one of the funniest movies and quotable movies of all time for this, you know, early 90s comedy. Like, what do you think? Where do you think that falls?
Dumb and Dumber is it's a funny movie. We're talking about, obviously, old school, but have you seen, we never talk about movies with you. Have you seen Dumb and Dumber?
I have. It's not my type of comedy. I thought it was
Mock.
Kind of,
yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
a Jim Carrey
yeah.
like that.
You're not
yeah.
Jim
Carrey. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. Mockingbird.
And then,
everybody have you heard?
Crystal Rich uses, So You're Saying There's a Chance constantly.
That's a good one.
That's from Dumb and Dumber, right?
Yeah.
So
Mary Samsonite.
To me, that's not. I agree with Brian on that movie. I am a Jim Carrey fan. I think Ace Ventura, super funny.
Ooh,
what?
Good one.
I love Ace Ventura.
Wait, oh Brian. Brian.
Yes.
Were you listening? Hi. Were you listening last week when Mike was talking about the dog, dog?
Yeah. All right, Peter. No, we're going to ask about that in 1 second. Peter, is that all you had? Was the movie?
Dumb and Dumber, and then I agree with the other guy. Animal House is such a funny classic movie, but I think you're right. Kids these days just don't get it. And my last one was the Sixers. Tomorrow, they're only favored by 2 points against the Blazers. What do you think?
It's a tough game for them without Embiid. It's a tough game for them. 610-632-0975. All right, as we go into the break, Brian, we'll let you answer this on the other side. You're going out, you're back. Let's go back to your single times. I know you're a happily married man, so we're not trying to mess that up. Back when you were single.
Thank you.
You got two choices, and you got to pick one. You go out on a first date with a woman. She has a runny nose. She blows her nose in a cloth napkin. That is scenario one, all right? Scenario two, you're dating a woman. You go on the first date. You go back to her apartment. She asks you, would you like to meet her dog? You say yes. She drags in a stuffed dog, her dead dog that was taxidermied. You can only pick one of the women. You answer that on the other side.
It reminded me of Dumb and Dumber with the little boy with the bird.
Yeah, so you answer that on the other side. Which scenario? Because, well, you'll answer.
We also have some huge news.
And we have huge news on the other side.
Wow,
huge news. People, stay tuned. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Got Brian Westbrook for another half hour on TV for another half hour. Brian, we gave you a scenario before the break. First date, two different women. You have to pick one. We talked about this with Mike, and we think Mike got the wrong answer.
Well, tell me what Mike said.
No, you have to answer first.
Ah, see how.
Not gonna give you no.
I'll tell you this: if a woman is using a cloth napkin to blow her nose, at least she's considerate enough. She's not, you know, covering one of her nostrils and throwing it on the ground. At least she's considerate enough to cover up and take care of it. That's a human thing.
Right.
Now, if you tell me if a young lady has a dog that's stuffed, her old dog that's stuffed in her house, that means she's crazy. That means I'm out of there real quick.
That is the correct answer, Brian. Thank you. Now, Mike, for some reason, thought that he couldn't maybe teach a person, doesn't matter, table manners. And at least if she was attached to the dog, she would get attached to him. And I said, that's the problem. You don't want somebody that attached to you.
Well, that's because Mike is crazy. Mike, he attracts crazy, obviously. I can't believe if he wants a woman that has a stuffed dog, their old stuffed dog, that means she can't get over things in the past.
Right.
That's the type of that scares me a little bit. Those types of women scare me just a bit. They can't get over the past. They can't move on. The page never turns for them. That means you have an argument today, you'll be arguing for the next month with this woman. No, I don't want that.
I agree with you, Brian. You gave the right answer. Table manners is something that you can learn. Little kids don't know table manners. You learn that over time. Take your elbows off the table. You learn which fork to use. You don't know what a salad fork is till somebody tells you.
That's right.
But the dog thing, that's scary. Because next thing you know, you'll be stuffed in her living room.
That's right. That's
and it was a collie.
And it was a collie.
It was a collie, Brian.
She talked to the collie, pet the collie, and walked the collie, goes and drags that dog over to the guy on a date.
Would you like to meet my dog?
This woman is crazy.
Exactly. So you got that answer, right? We've been talking about old school versus new school. Joe in Bristol, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, Tyrone? How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
No, I want to talk about first off, let me start out by giving a shout-out to B. West for returning that punt to the house against the Giants that resurrected the Eagles season when they started off 0-2.
That's old school right there.
And you still getting credit for that?
Absolutely. That's old school.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, old school.
Be getting credit for that. No, that was a great moment. Actually, that was a great moment, Brian. Real fast, Joe. That was a fantastic moment. Honestly, you did save their season, and I was so worried about. I'm producing now. I'm in the business at this point. And I was like, this is going to be a really tough year if they lose this game. You saved a lot of people on a lot of fans on a lot of ways.
And it worked out that way that year.
Yeah, you did.
Most definitely. Yep. And then the movie that no one's talking about. Did you ever see the movie The Warriors? Back in the day, 79.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where the term, a lot of people won't know it, the phrase came from, can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, that was from that. The Warriors come out and play. Yeah.
Yeah. That was Cyrus. And then another thing with old school, the best show ever was in Living Color back in the day with the Wayans brothers, Jim Carrey. Because you were just talking about Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx, the greatest cast ever. It was great when it was great, and then it stopped being great.
No, I know. I'm talking about back in the day when it first started, when they had Barracosa, Fire Marshal Bill, they had Anton, Homie the Clown. If no one knows about that, look up Homie Claus Christmas. Oh, my God, it's great.
All right,
so you're talking old school. But you're really talking about two specific things. Obviously, there in the history of time, there was one good movie called The Warriors, which is, like, not top 100. And in Living Color, which was a good TV show. Like, that's not enough to sway me to the old school,
Living
though.
Living Color was good. I got a list of some of my top comedies, though. And most of these actually are old school, I think.
All right, go ahead.
Friday.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
That's top old school.
Hangover.
Hangover's new school.
Is it new school? Okay.
Yeah, 2009.
Well, I like Hangover. Anchorman. I liked Anchorman.
New school.
Step Brothers. I like
new
that.
School.
But maybe I need
you
to
like
change
it. New school movies.
Old school. The movie. Is that new school?
That's new school. School.
Meet the Parents.
New school.
Wedding Crashers.
New school.
Okay, obviously movie wise, I like new school movies.
but now, see, we didn't know this.
Coming to America. Hold on. Coming to America's there too.
That's old school.
That's a couple old school.
But what we're learning is Brian's old school, except when it comes to movies. We never noticed about you because we always talking about sports with
I
you, Brian.
Yeah,
we learned a little bit about Brian Westbrook here. He likes the new school comedies. And now everybody, all three of us here, all agree with you about pretty much all those movies. They're all great movies. And
you know what I also like? I like what the new school has given us. I love reality TV. Now, I don't know why. Probably because my life is just, you know, wake up, take the kids to school, walk the dogs, wash the dishes, clean up, do those types of things, and repeat on the back end of the day. So I need some filler there. I need some excitement. Reality TV is something that I love about the new school TV.
Now, are you a Kardashian guy? Do you watch the Kardashians?
No. I used to watch them way back when they started, however many years ago, but not anymore. Now it's just got too much. It's just too many of them. I can't keep up with all the sisters and what the mom is doing to her. That's just too much going on in the Kardashians for me.
So which name your number one reality show, if you can? So people, and maybe they want to tune in and find out. Brian, this is Brian's pick.
Yeah, love it. Love and Hip Hop, Black Ink.
Oh, okay.
You know, Vanderpump Rules. I watched
Vanderpump Rules is the best one on
Ty,
earth.
That's your favorite.
I love Vanderpump Rules. It's my favorite one.
I watch all types of craziness on TV.
That's the best.
Maybe I should watch Vanderpump Rules.
Start from the beginning. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Jax is insane.
Well, if Ty and Brian Westbrook like Vanderpump Rules, I guess I will, right?
Now, we mentioned we have some big news. We have some Eagles news. Go ahead, hit us.
Yeah, so as you heard in my update, Eagles have signed kicker Jake Elliott and long snapper Rick Lovato to one-year contracts through 2019. They have released Chris Maragos.
Oh, okay.
So if you were worried about them signing Jake Elliott, you can sleep rest assured knowing that he will be your kicker for the next year.
Yeah, the Maragos thing is interesting. They kind of knew he wasn't going to play all last year. They carried him anyway. He was able to collect another year, year of service. It looks like after another surgery, it's unlikely he was going to play again next year. I think at this point, it was kind of time to go.
Yeah, for what he does, you know, you can find another young guy to go out there and be a special team type of guy that can get up and down the field. You don't want to go back to an older guy that's coming off of injuries to play those types of positions because there's going to be an awful lot of running. There's going to be an awful lot of contact. You probably want to go younger, especially in that spot, because you can get a younger guy on a cheaper contract to do very similar things. So.
Absolutely, and they were able to survive last season without him, so they know what life without Chris Maragos is like. Right. So, to me, that was kind of a anticlimactic situation. I do hope that he, whatever issue that there is that's long-term now, he's able to play in the NFL again, because I don't know that many guys that can come back after missing two full seasons.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for him because Chris is a hard worker, and I actually played with Chris out in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
1 year out in San Francisco, because I kind of saw him come up as a young man out there back in, I think, 2010, 2011. So he played a little bit that year out there, maybe for a short time. And so it's certainly unfortunate for him, but I'm glad that he's able to get, 6-7 years in the NFL. That's a testament to his hard work after being an undrafted free agent out of Wisconsin.
No, absolutely. Now, on the other side, we're going to get into this Wilt versus Embiid thing, because I'm sure somebody misconstrued what I said. So, Tony, you'll be first. Got one more segment on TV. One more segment with Brian Westbrook. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
.975 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Missanelli with Brian Westbrook for a few more minutes. Tony in the Poconos, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Tyrone.
What's up, Tony?
All right. You had a beef about Embiid and Chamberlain before?
Not a beef. I just said Embiid does more things than Wilt Chamberlain could ever imagine doing.
And like what?
In that shooting, dribbling.
Shooting?
Yes.
Well, close, you mean like posting up and everything?
No, I mean shooting. Okay. We know Wilt can post up. The question is, what else could he do offensively in that era? Different world.
Chamberlain was the greatest center of all time, my friend.
Yes.
You ever see Wilt Chamberlain play? You never saw Wilt Chamberlain play, huh?
No.
No, I did. I seen him play a million times.
So let me ask you. Had you been a three-point line then?
There was no three-point line then.
I understand that, Tony. What I said, Tony, was if there was a three-point line, was Wilt a player who could make shots from that range?
No, Chamberlain was not there. No, he couldn't.
Okay.
He couldn't shoot foul shots.
He couldn't shoot foul shots either. Embiid makes 80% of his. Right, Embiid makes 80% of his.
Go ahead.
And what I mean is...
give him that. Right. I love both of them.
Right. I'm not really pitting them against each other. My only statement was, when we talk about old school versus new school, Tony, and I know you're an old school guy.
Yes, I am, definitely.
I'm not talking about better. Embiid is not better than Wilt. What I'm saying is Embiid does a lot more things than Wilt ever did, and we don't really ever give the new school players credit for the amount of things that they're able to do compared to old school players. Him being able to dribble the ball up the court and that stuff, Wilt can never do that.
Well, a couple of times he did. I seen him do it.
Couple times. That's all I'm saying. I'm not really looking for a fight. Like, I don't.
No, I'm not going to fight with
no,
you.
No. There's people out there who think that I went on the radio and said that Embiid was better. No. What I'm saying is the modern player does so many things, and that's why the modern game is so great, because everybody does a lot of things versus the specialization in previous generations.
Right. You know, did you know that Wilt Chamberlain blocked 26 shots in one game?
I know I didn't, but here's one thing I do know, that in the NBA today, they're not going to give you a chance to block 26 shots.
Oh, right, I know that. I know that.
At you
and he also got 55 rebounds in one game. That was against Bill Russell.
Yeah. See, that's a different kind of era. They also played at a very high pace, though. They did play a very high pace then as well. I love you, Tony, and thanks for calling. I love the guys like Tony, because he understood where I was coming from. A lot of times, the old school guys just get angry. Well, Chamber, blah, blah. Relax. He is the greatest center.
Is he the greatest center? Is Kareem the greatest center?
You can make an argument for either one. You can take either one. If you want to say Kareem, I'm not going to argue with you. Kareem played longer. He won more.
Opinion, Kareem probably was the greatest center.
Okay. The same sentence applies. Joel Embiid does things that Kareem could never imagine doing.
No doubt about it.
And when I talk about the reason I think that a modern team would always beat an old team, I'm saying you can't assume that the old guys would just learn how to shoot threes. Well, like, you can't make that assumption.
You can't. You also can't say that you're going to have stretch fours or you're going to have point guards that are 6'10".
Right. Yeah,
I think you can make that argument across the board. I mean, the Sixers have the ability to go out there with four guys that are 6'10 or better to start the game. And then J.J. Redick that can shoot the lights out the gym. I mean, it's just hard to compete with that, especially with some of these smaller teams back in the day.
Back in the day. That's what I mean. Even our favorite 83 Sixers, I don't know who Moses would guard. Mm-hmm. I don't know who Mo Cheeks would guard.
Nope.
But I do know who would guard Doc. And I know that they have, not that Doc wouldn't get his, I just know that Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons have the physical ability to defend Doc. I'm not sure Moses would have any idea how to guard Joel Embiid.
He would just have to try to beat him up. That's what that was the tool back in the day. Beat you up, put an elbow in your back and try to beat you up. But you're right. The game has changed. And when you talk about the evolution of players, big men have been able to get further and further away from the basket because their skill level, they're able to run up and down the floor. Mm-hmm. And then you're seeing these guards, they're getting taller and taller and taller. Now you got 6'6", 6'5", 6'4", guards. Where back in the day, the guard position was 6'1", 6'2". Things have changed. So certainly the game is changed.
Mo Cheeks was a great defender. If you put him on J.J. Redick, now he's running around all kinds of screens off the ball and all that kind of stuff. That's why the new team would kind of almost always beat the team from the previous era.
Absolutely.
And we get upset about that. Doesn't mean I'm saying that the new players are better in that, like, nobody on the Sixers is as good as Moses Malone, who's in the Hall of Fame. Nobody in the Sixers is as good as Dr. J, who's in the Hall of Fame. But I don't know how a Dr. J team would beat a modern Sixers team with this much speed.
Those players were great in their era. When you're trying to compare teams and eras, when you talk about athleticism and stuff, it's just almost impossible to do because guys, I mean, just like you said, bigger, faster, stronger, it's happening in every single sport.
And that, to me, is the thing that we should appreciate about sports pushing forward. And certain old guys, and Tony wasn't one of them, push back against that and decide, oh, three-pointers are bad. Why? Oh, because my guys in my era didn't shoot them. So that's why they're bad. Or running backs catching the ball out of the backfield isn't good. Why? Because I believe my running backs should just carry the ball 20 times a game, and that's it.
That's right.
And to me, that's sometimes the old school guys don't want to evolve.
Yeah, evolution is part of life. You got to change a little bit.
Got to change. Phillip, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello there. Ty, I want to say, man, the things you said yesterday, man, was five stars, man. But today, man, I got to give you the burn.
All right, what's the problem, Phillip?
Well, you know, with you mentioned about how Moses Malone couldn't guard Embiid. I think that's all you have to do is pretty much stay in front of Embiid. Now, the dude.
Are you sure he could stay in front of Embiid?
Yes, absolutely.
But based on what? He was a very quick guy for this era?
For any era. No.
You can't say for any era.
For any era, because this is what players will do. Players, no matter how good you were, whenever you were good, you will adapt to that area. The only difference now is the shoes are better, the nutrition is better, the workout equipment is better. So you think.
Well that's part of it. Embiid's coming to that game with nutrition, and he didn't leave his nutrition and shoes home. He has all of that, and Wilt still and Moses would still be playing in 1983, because that's the best Moses that you're going to get. I'm taking Moses at his best and Embiid at his best. Otherwise, I'm giving you an old man Moses, and then that's unfair.
So the people who had that ability back then, if they that innate ability back then, if they had the addition to what these players had now, you think they'll still be the same?
Whoa, I can't make wild assumptions. I don't know what would happen. That's a wild assumption to assume. No, it's an assumption to assume that he would just come into this game and he'd make threes and he'd make his foul shots and he'd know how to move laterally the same way and he'd have to cover more ground on defense and not hand check. I don't know if he could do those things.
Ben Simmons is a self-check, so you don't have to guard him.
So when he posts, who you put on him?
You can put, like he said, Bobby Jones on him.
All right, Bobby Jones on him. I only cut him off because we're running out of time. Brian, I appreciate it as usual. Thanks so much for spending the hour with me.
Thanks so much, brother. Continue the great job, man.
I appreciate it. That's our time on TV. We continue the 5 o'clock hour on radio only. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson in for Mike Messinelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.